and welcome to AMO Kenzoku, episode 85. We are a group of four Bubblegum Crisis Boomer otaku who wanted an excuse to talk about anime, manga, and any related subjects we find interesting. The Kenzoku are...
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Sam.
And I am Dylan. This episode is being recorded on July 23rd, 2026. Today, we will be discussing all of, and definitely not continuing, Evangelion, Death and Rebirth, and End of Evangelion. With that, I say, Hashin! So, why are we jumping right into Death and Rebirth and End of Evangelion after our starting of this entire podcast as a reason to discuss the rebuild movies, particularly since we started this podcast just as, I'll call it Rebuild 4 3.0 plus 1.0 came out. And the answer to that is that it was forced upon us, as most things in EVA are, by theatrical release of Death and Rebirth, which was on Tuesday, followed last night by a one-night-only End of EVA showing in the theater, and timing worked out such that we could record this nearly immediately afterwards. So this was a time-sensitive event, and our first time back to the well in over 80 episodes, which feels wow. Crazy, aside from every other episode where we bring up EVA anyways, but yeah, first official return to it.
It's pretty wild. We found ways to 80 other episodes to find topics to talk about that aren't EVA, so go us.
Yeah, but in spite of it not being EVA, we have had other episodes where we discussed Space Mind, going back to California Crisis, which was just so great. But let's not go back to that well yet. So that's the reason for this, and we hope that all of our listeners were aware and saw that in the theater as well. There's so many ways that we could take this discussion, so I'm going to try and focus on some of the more esoteric bits, at least for now, and then we'll kind of see where it gets. So first one, let's have a little discussion of people's literal theatrical experiences that we had for each of them. I can start with mine, which is I went to my local Regal. It was showing at, I think, three of the Regals in my area. I went to the one that's closest where I usually go to see things. I would say Death was modestly attended. Mm-hmm. But End of EVA, which was a one time only 7 p.m. show, was very well attended. I'd say something like, it's always hard to judge, but something like 80%, 85% of the seats were full for the show. That's my first thing there. I'll kind of pass to others and let anybody else cut in with any other info or anything they think is interesting.
Yeah, for me it was similar. Death and Rebirth was less attended, but I feel like mine was, there were a decent number of people, but End of EVA was packed. There were only a few empty seats. It wasn't a huge theater, but yeah, they nearly sold out.
Yeah, for me, just due to scheduling constraints, I had to watch Death and Rebirth on Netflix, which fortunately Netflix, as a point of reference, has all of EVA TV plus Death and Rebirth plus EOE all available on it. So, for the audience at home, it is all available there in mostly its original form. For EOE, I also caught the showing last night at my local Regal, which is kind of a time capsule of 1990s because it pretty much has not changed internally since then. It had a proper physical marquee and everything, so I was joking in the group Discord about stealing the marquee afterwards, but kind of hard to do because it was similar to Dylan, about 80-ish percent filled. Only the very front row was not filled, just for, you know, obvious reasons. But I mean, you know, I had to be in pretty much, I had to be in the second from the top row to where my seats were. I was up there. It was, but you know, stadium seating, so no bad seats, fortunately. Mm-hmm. Audience was really great, honestly. Everybody was super, respectful as far as just, you know, like watching it in silence. An odd kind of demographic thing I noticed was, there was at least four sets of parents that brought their children who were at the oldest, maybe 12 years old, to the showing. And no. I sincerely questioned their motives. Like, my perspective is the parent must be a Neva fan and just dragged the kid out, because I was like, there's no way that they would go in blind to this.
But like, that's even worse though, right? If they knew what the content was and they took their 12-year-old.
Especially the opening scene. I'm like, ooh, bad luck. But that was kind of weird. Otherwise, from a demographic standpoint, actually a good range of ages. I saw definitely some college kids who definitely this was kind of their first, you know, exposure to it. And then I can comfortably say I was not the oldest person in the theater this time, which was good. There was a gentleman who, if I had to guess, probably runs about 10 years older than all of us, because you know, just off of a guess. And he was also wearing a super ultra faded, like, ADV era Evangelion t-shirt.
Oh,
that
wow.
was black and now was more of a medium gray. But, you know, respect to that man for, you know, sticking to his fandom. But, yeah, otherwise, quite a pleasant watching experience for me.
Yeah, it was playing down at the local, well, relative, 35-mile drive, give or take, Regal. And same, audiences were fairly respectful. There were some people who were talking at a few points, trying to figure out what the hell was happening. But then again, I can't totally blame them there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was surprisingly full for an anime movie in the California Central Coast that isn't Ghibli or like Promare. Because it was basically, yeah, about the same as all of y'all, about 85% full, I think.
Nice. That's cool. So, I think, Sam, you were saying something before about people being distracting during the show?
Yeah, mine had a couple of people being distracting. It kind of ruined it for me. But on the other, like, one observation I had that with my theater was there were definitely some, like, audible reactions from, like, clearly there were people seeing it for the first time there, which was nice, I guess, in a way, that people are still coming out to see this thing for the first time.
I wonder how many people this is the follow-up to the rebuild, because I'm sure for the vast majority of people, let's call, say, under the age of 40, it's highly possible the rebuilds were probably their first exposure to Eva, and this is them kind of backtracking in. So, yeah, what an experience. I mean, just you know, I'm kind of projecting here, but just I can only imagine what your thought process would be seeing this as the conclusion of Eva versus the, you know, the final rebuild movie, which tonally was quite different.
Well, I am going to say there were definitely people whose first time it was not, like the person in the front row who had their phone out at the beginning to take a picture of the Shinji hand scene.
Notorious.
Take a picture at home.
Yeah, it's available on Netflix, guys. You can get a better screen cap.
Yeah. Don't pay $20 to take a picture in the movie.
Yeah, don't take 20. Yeah, exactly. Don't pay $20 to meme. That's not worth it.
Yeah. If you're going to meme, find Dylan's old cosplay photos.
Yeah, I did, before my showing, I did a selfie of my favorite meme from End of Eva, of the guy in the theater there who was given the lower, flipping the bird, and then into like a kind of like a weird thumbs up thing. So I always do an upside down bird flip every time before, if I can. It's
as is tradition.
Yeah.
It's my favorite meme from a thing that has existed before memes were a word or a thing.
That existed before probably many of the audience was birthed. So.
Yeah.
and rebirth.
Sad. Oh, sad. Zing.
Speaking of before many of the audience was probably birthed, I think the last time I saw this movie projected was on Dylan's data projector in, what, like 22 years ago?
That sounds roughly right.
It's quite possible.
I vaguely remember us, like, freeze-framing End of Eva off the monolith discs and trying to read the text of some of the walls of text.
Oh, yeah. I meant to go and load up and screen cap some of those things, but I haven't done that yet, and I'll never do it because I'll just get bored with Eva at some time very soon here.
Never.
Okay, so it sounds like it was fairly similar. I think, yeah, mine, I had the, because I was quiet there and everyone in my showing was relatively quiet. But I definitely got the impression, too, that there was like a good number of people there that had not seen End of Eva before. And
man, what a way to see it for the first time.
I know. Like,
jealous.
Oh. Yeah, because I don't remember, like, I'm like, how would I have seen that the first time? Probably would have been I don't know if it would have been like a VHS fan sub, but maybe it would have been an official release.
I know exactly day for me. Well, not date, that's not the right term, but day for me was my, I abstained from attending my high school junior prom because I was not the type to go to prom, and instead I went to my local video rental shop, rented the official Japanese VHS, and watched it at home, and then had a really, really long sleepless night trying to comprehend the end of the end of Eva. So, yeah, that was my first exposure to it.
Yeah.
I still have my VKALL fan sub VHS that I sent off to Canada with an international money order for.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Deep cuts.
Very nice. I'm curious, like, I'm not requesting that you do, but, like, I'm very curious for, like, script differences at this point, or, like, translation stuff, because I know some of those early fan subs of that stuff were...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting now.
Yeah, it could be quite different for some of the things they've done there.
Mm-hmm.
I think... from the theatrical thing, one of the things that I wanted to point out that, and I don't know if it was the same, but mine, like, because for Death and Rebirth, I rolled in just like a couple minutes early and the theater was like packed for concessions. I don't know. There must have been a showing of The Odyssey going on at the same time or something.
Well, at my theater, I think it was Bargain Tuesday, so.
It was Bargain Tuesday as well. So that might have been it, that all the collegiate bargain hunters were there, which is the whole point of it, which is fine. But I rolled in and I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'll sit down here for a minute. And then, like, at least at mine, there was like, it was like maybe 4 minutes of trailers and then the movie just started. Was that the same experience for others?
No, I had the full standard Regal 25 minutes of trailers.
Yep,
yeah, same. Mine was long. A lot of it was anime trailers, though, fortunately. So I actually saw that the movie by the Odd Taxi Studio is coming to Regal, at least. I saw it has two showings in August, sometime in August. And then
30th and 31st, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh. And then also saw that Your Name is getting, I couldn't believe this, a 10-year anniversary reshowing. Yeah, I was like, what? Is it 10 years already? Yeah. So yeah, that was quite long.
That's how you know when you're old. We'll know we'll be really old when there's like, oh, hey, here's the 15th anniversary of Suzume. And then we'll be like...
No, we'll be old when it's the Eva 50th anniversary spectacular. And the AI hologram of Anno continues to... or whatever, the disembodied robotic head a la Futurama, who knows. But...
Yeah, so for both Death End, and I was just very surprised that it was just like 3 minutes, then just like right into it. But yeah, I think I got the same ones there of the Odd Taxi one, and I think something else, yeah, and then the Your Name, tenth.
It was all G Kid stuff, so it must have been the same reel.
Yeah. So that was actually kind of a nice thing, because it meant that the show was at 7, and like I was like home by 9. I was like, oh, yeah, you can actually get home from a movie when there's not 45 minutes of trailers before. I know. It.
Go figure.
I'm pretty spoiled and slow. By the standard here is still like 10 minutes, so I always get shocked by 25 when I go anywhere else.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like five to 10 is like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, the ridiculous ones get, you're just like, come on, man, this is ridiculous.
Not to rant, but the worst part of it is that, like, I don't actually mind a lot of trailers, but when they stick commercials in the middle, that's when I really get mad.
Yeah, the way mine does it.
Monetizing the unlimited subscribers, since they've got them as a captive audience.
Literally. Yeah, mine front loads all of the local advertisements, so it does like a 15-minute ad reel and then goes into the trailers. And then
you get local ads? That's actually kind of rad. I wouldn't mind that as much.
I don't know. It's so much like kind of just whatever. But yeah, it's fine. It is. I understand. They got to make money, so I get it. It was fine.
Okay. So I think with that, one of the things that Nick and I were discussing briefly before is like based on the attendance there for End of Eva, and the fact that I think it was either like 1 or 2 years ago that they had it in the theater once, and then it was real popular, so they brought it back for like a second time.
Mm-hmm.
That it definitely feels like something that has enough of a sustained audience that I feel like at this point, particularly with the ease of distributing stuff for like, you know, 1 or 2 day showings or whatever, that I wouldn't be surprised if End of Eva keeps returning to the theaters at this point. You know, maybe not annually, but more like probably every, who knows, you know, 3 to 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Definitely worth it. They should do that. I mean, I like how now the, at least Regal, I think this is a Fathom thing, maybe. I don't know. They do the basically year round, almost, they do this rolling Ghibli showing.
Yeah, we get that in the local Regals here too.
Yeah. There's the Ghibli Fest that kind of has like a show a month basically for a couple days, and which is cool, because you get to you see a lot of those, and I'd like them to extend that out to some other stuff.
Yeah, but like you know, a month of with the Pat Labor movies, a month with Ghost in the Shell, a month with, you know, like all the classics, like that would be really cool.
Yeah. Seeing that gorgeous IG animation in EOE really made me want to see Pat Labor too.
Yeah.
In 4K.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we've spent quite a bit and we haven't even gotten to anything here. So let's go and try to keep ourselves focused for a little bit here, and if we veer, that's fine, but on more of the death and rebirth side of things.
Oh wait, before we go there, one more meta thing. Did anybody have Ratatouille moment when the splash things show up, you know, like at the King Records and
Sega and Star Child?
Yeah
Yes,
I was just like, whoa. Yes.
That was a long forgotten memory of all the R2s purchased in years past.
I always love that you get the old that they had all the proper intro promotion or cross production stuff. There is so cool. You're like, oh man, it's time.
Yeah, it's, it really gets you in the mood right there.
Yeah,
right?
Like, you have to see those six logos or however many it is.
Yeah.
You know, just like watching something and seeing the old emotion Maui head logo.
Yes,
you're
yes.
Like,
oh,
right, yeah. Now I'm in for something good. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, death and rebirth. I'm not sure. I don't know if I have actually watched all of Death and Rebirth before. Like, I'm pretty confident that I've seen Death before, but I don't know if I'd actually seen the Rebirth as well.
I'd never seen either. This is my first time.
Oh, really? So I've actually seen, I believe, every single format of Death and Rebirth, because I remember back, again, because, again, the video rental store I had, because their original cut of Rebirth actually was about the first half of EOE, and it cuts at I can't remember where it cut at, but yeah, but and then what the final edits were keeping EOE more self-contained, so they cut out the EOE content from it. But yeah, like there was a two or three separate releases, because I remember there was a period of like a few months during a summer where I was like, because I see different VHS covers, I'm like, oh, this is a new everything, and I'm like, wait, no, this is just the same one again. And at the time, I was just frustrated. I was like, I already seen all this. But yeah, so I don't remember all of the minutiae and differences, but.
And of course, Anno has to make it confusing with his, like, ridiculously undecipherable titles.
Yeah, I know. And that hasn't changed. That's still true to this day. I mean, yeah. Look at the titling of the rebuilds. So, but yeah, I've seen it many, many times at this point. I was actually, that's kind of why I was not super motivated to see it in the theaters, because I didn't have, opinionally, it's fine, but, I think in the scope of the TV show, it feels really redundant. Yeah. If you are using it as a catch-up, it's great. And that's what I used it as, because I decided I wasn't going to be able to get through TV plus this in a short period of time. So I used Death and Rebirth as kind of a backfill, and it does that wonderfully. I think it fulfills that. This is the first time where my perspective changed drastically, because instead of watching TV and then Death and Rebirth, I just watched Death and Rebirth. I'm like, oh, this actually does a pretty solid job. If you're relatively familiar with Eva, it really gets all of the core story beats in a weird sequence, but I get why, and maybe we can talk about the, you know, how it decides to frame the story. But yeah. That's my take on, like, kind of just quick take on it, anyway.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing Death and Rebirth, at least I think, because I definitely don't remember seeing the Rebirth part that, yeah, was, like, mostly the first chunk of End of Eva, but not totally.
Yeah, because it stops just when the Eva series shows up and starts flying overhead. But, okay, go back. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, with Rebirth, yeah, stopping just as, before the Eva series start deciding to throw all their swords at Anthe.
Who?
Oh, you know, I'm just mixing my metaphors here.
On the Rebirth part, just because I'm thinking about it now, I thought it was really weird, because it felt the same as End of Eva, but also not, because there was, at least to my showing, the way, and I assume it was the intent, was there was this kind of like almost VHS overlay of it, of this kind of hiss that was going. And it felt like some of the, and I could just be totally wrong, but I felt like some of the cuts were slightly different. And I felt definitely, I felt like the music was, aside from just ending on the Tamashino Refuran, that I felt like a bunch of the music was cut in and out differently, and like different selections and stuff there.
So I do agree. I think originally it was because making EOE was taking so long, like past schedule, that they decided to release this as kind of like a preview of it, and it was actually not the final cut that they opted to, but they just said they just let it rip, is kind of what I've, just the cursory research I did, that's kind of seems to be the explanation behind it. And then the death, whatever the current, the death true squared.
Death True 2.
Yeah. That cut is now generally referred to as the canon kind of cut to watch because EOE properly exists, I guess. So,
yeah, I had that same feeling too when I watched the Death and Rebirth, and in Rebirth, there are parts where I'm like, like especially like one thing that stood out was there's a part where they're all in like the command center and Fuyutsuki is saying something and like it was visibly out of sync, and then when during EOE that same scene it was like perfectly in sync, so like I was like, oh, clearly there was some improvements made, and there were some other things that were slightly different, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then I also looked just recently to see, and I saw the same thing. They're like, yeah, okay, it was unfinished, and so they just they put it out, which is just goes to show again like how fast and like kind of seat of the pants this anime was, especially back then. It's like, you know, just rushing the tapes to the TV station right as the thing is about to air. At least with a movie, they get the chance to just say, well, we'll just push back the release date. So,
and frankly, probably for a lot of things, they don't have that option. But for Eva, given everything there, they were like, okay, maybe that was their compromise. Was they're like, hey, we have this death thing put together. We'll give you what we have. We're working on now. It's not done, but it's close. We'll give this to you. And then the theaters or whoever on the production was like, okay, we'll take this, and now we can buy you an extra 6 months to get this finished or whatever.
Yeah. As a fan, like I would have, like, I don't know what the reception was at the time, but I would have been happy with that. Cause you know, it's kind of like getting the demo disc to, whatever, like FF7 or something like that. Or, What was it? FF7 and Brave Fencer and Musashi or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the demo disc for that was on... No, because Brave Fencer and Musashi came out later. It was some... It wasn't Battle Fighter Toshinden. It was some other Square fighting game.
Was it Arrow Guys?
What did Brave Fencer and Musashi have?
Gosh, yeah, we're going digging way back into the...
But I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the demo disc came on this other... Was it Toeball number 2?
Toeball. Oh, maybe it
or
was
number
Toeball.
1? Or was it Toeball number one or number 2?
It was Toeball number 1.
Number 1, okay. Of which they never made number 2.
Yeah, I believe.
That's what it was. It was, yeah, it was on the Toeball number 1... that it had the demo disc for FF7. Yeah, I think at the time, if I was there and living my best life, I would have been all over that, and I would have been like, oh my gosh, we get something. Okay, let's take it.
Yeah, getting to see even just death in a theater would have been something when you'd only had Ava on SDTV.
Gosh, that's a fair point there too. Yeah, because I think the LDs had started to come out by then, but I don't even know if they were all out. Are you looking up the release for Death versus?
Oh, I was just going to comment LDs on the visual quality.
Yeah, go with that,
like,
too.
It was very like clearly like made for television, like in that it was just way blurrier, kind of lower quality. And then, you know, there were the portions where they actually did some new animation stuff, and it was very clear which ones those were. And then after at the movie cuts, where it's like, oh yeah, huge difference.
Yeah, it was really interesting how they have it all squished and pulled in there together, and then they applied all of their, you know, analog filters and things on top of everything, along with the new segments that they did or took out for the extra versions of episodes 21 to 24.
Well, yeah, the cropping too, which was interesting. Yeah. Like, oh, that's not how I remember that being framed, but oh, it's because it's widescreen.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice there. It's, and that's so that battle of TV on the big screen is like, okay, I'm sure they had debates. So they're like, all right, do we crop this in for widescreen? Do we leave it in the 4:3 and put it up there and have black on the side? And they elected to go with the, oh, you know what? We're in the theater. Might as well do it. Let's just crop it.
They should have done like they do with the retro game packaging these days, where they put some like illustration artwork on the sidebars and the
pillars.
Oh
man, that would have been fabulous. Yeah, it was very interesting to see some of the redone scenes. The scene for me that I was just blown away with how incredible it looked was the redone work for when Shinji gets Rei out of the unit after.
Where he burns his hand. Well, where the analog scene where Gendo burned his hands, but it was Shinji doing it this time.
Yeah, and with Rei in there getting her out and her smile
and the
and
smile
stuff,
not
like,
the smile not being weird and off-putting.
Yeah, holy yeah. Crap! At least that spot, I was like, wait, what is happening here? This isn't what this looks like. I was like, oh my gosh, what have they? How did you make this? It looked so. At least that's my feeling. Just like that looked so incredible. I was like blown away.
Yeah, I you know, part of me was like, why did they waste resources and effort reanimating stuff from TV? But then I was like, well, the end product is better, so I guess it was worth it. But
I even wonder like what the process was of deciding which ones they wanted to, like, how did they choose? Oh, this is, we need to redo this one. This one is like, was it like important? They thought it would help align with EOE, or like, were they just not happy and this is a chance to fix it? Like, do we know any of that kind of stuff?
I don't have the answers to that yet, in spite of my...
I think the only person with answers we're going to have to drug and forcefully drag onto this podcast somehow from Japan, because I think the only person that knows the real answer is Ando, so... Or probably any of the senior staffers that worked on it.
Yeah, I'd say like we could probably get Masayuki would probably give us some answers, and he'd be easier to get a hold of.
Tsurumaki is still active too, so he might be able to.
Yeah, true.
Any other scenes that anyone remembered that were particularly like, oh, I don't remember this looking like this or something else? Sometimes it's particularly hard if you haven't seen the show in a while and you're just like, oh, well, that looks nice.
Not so many scenes, but I think I'll just add that the kind of imagery Death was being like was assembling together the string quartet of the children throughout it, and also the selection of music, like Eva, better than any other show, has used established classical music so well. Especially in these final animated pieces of for the original run of Eva, like I felt, to me, the imagery of the children are setting up the final kind of, you know, quartet for EOE, because right, the credit roll for Death was quite long, at least by current day standards, it was that whole Pachelbel canon, long horizontal pan, and it was basically the, you know, it was a still shot of what would end up being the end of the big scene in EOE, right? It was just big ocean of LCL with the crucified Eva series. So, you know, it just was a really cool prelude, I guess, in orchestral terms, to what was going to come in EOE, which was the finale, obviously. For me, I'm going to focus more on the music, because that was the part of everything that was just so much more mind-blowing, is having all of the music in a proper theater for EOE was just like really, really stand out to me.
Yeah, and for me, that quartet thing, you know, mentioned, was also pretty, I really liked that in the way that it kind of connected everything in it. And also brought in that music. And for me, I had never seen this before, but I did have the soundtrack. And so I've heard these songs so many times. And in fact, where anytime I hear one of these songs, like elsewhere, it immediately makes me think of
Eva. Yeah. It's funny because Paco Belcanin, I learned to play that song on piano when I was like 12, but I now and forever affiliate it with Eva because of of how just iconic that credit role scene is for me. And same, I don't remember the name of the cello song, but the solo cello song that Shinji plays, and I think Yo-Yo Ma famously is like one of the best performers of it. Like that is, that cello song is like, again, permanently associated to Eva for me. Like, even though it's existed for centuries before it. So that's my, I think that's my last kind of like take of like observation from Death and Rebirth.
Even the tuning bits too, because that's the soundtrack.
That just sets it up so well. Just like the little details, right? And that's the thing I loved about these last few, again, pieces of original Eva run, is just all of the little details and minutiae that Anno and the rest of the veterans decided that they can go and add because they have the budget and the time to do it. And you just see such a, you know, it really polishes that final product to like a really fantastic shine.
And am I remembering correctly, or am I making this up, that when Rei comes in, does she basically hardly tune at all before she starts playing, whereas like the others do more tuning, or am I just making that up?
I feel like they all tuned relatively quickly. I feel like if anybody tuned less, it was Kaoru tuned the least.
Yeah, he just showed up and started playing perfectly.
Oh, okay.
And he was the first chair, too, which I thought the imagery of who's what position, right? Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah, just the idea that they thought, even those little details, which I thought was really cool.
One of the things in Death that I was just so stunned again with both of them, but the credits in Death were so cool looking. It was this super smooth looking pan that felt like it was going the wrong way and felt like everything was like reversed, but it was still smooth and readable. And it was just so interesting. It's one of those things you're like, oh, this is just the credits, but it's done in such a cool way. At least that's my feeling.
That's amongst my favorite credit rules, and honestly, of anything, of all visual media, is again, just everything is perfect. Like, it's done in an interesting perspective. The art associated with it is stellar. The song is like exquisite. You know, just everything. It's just so cool. And I know it's weird to say about credit rolls, but like I think that should speak volumes to how good it really is. Is that it's like a credit roll that I always sit through, no matter what.
And you're talking about, because you're talking about Death, or are you talking about the mid scene end of Eva?
I'm talking about that. Talking about the horse. Are you talking about which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Death?
Frankly, both of them. But right now, I'm focusing on the Death.
Actually, this might be something interesting of note, because again, since I watched the Netflix version, it was different from what you guys saw, because it's Death True, not original theatrical Death and Rebirth run. So there are certain differences, actually.
What you're describing to me sounds like what I saw.
I'm talking about the Death Paco Bell canon. True 2
plus Rebirth, strangely.
Yeah. So it was you should have gotten the Paco Bell canon credit roll that was going from right to left.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about. Yeah. The interlude in EOE is also great. That performance of Thanatos is like, again, all-timer. Like, what an amazing song to choose. So
I'm glad you guys both mentioned that credit roll from Death, because I too, watching that, was like, this is so great. It's so Anno, and like his style of doing boring thing in an interesting way. It's very it's very, it feels weird to say this, it's very Japanese, like they, even in Japanese media, they used to use the normal standard bottom to top vertical scroll, and for him to say, you know, no, we're gonna do it this horizontal scroll from right to left, it's very cool. It made it very interesting to look at. It was different to read. I think maybe easier to read too, because there's more time with each credit on the screen.
If I recall, he also did the horizontal scroll for the end of Gunbuster as well.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that's where I think he maybe drew it from, which, you know, surprise, surprise, same director. So, yeah. And again, probably because he had the time to do it, and also, you know, we can dive into it, but I think there's also other topics we can talk about besides credit rolls.
Well, I do want to say, I didn't know at all what I was getting into, and I wasn't keeping track of time, and so I actually thought I almost left after that.
I was literally
getting up from my seat, and then it went right into the
rebirth segment.
Rebirth section, yeah.
Actually, so not to jump the shark into EOE, but in your guys' showings, how many people in your theater stood up in the interlude credits?
Only a few in mine, and they came back. They just went to go get refreshments.
Yeah, a bunch of people did leave for Rebirth because they were presumably just coming back for EOE and didn't want to stay.
Sure, that part I get. But I'm just more interested in how many people thought that the Thanatos credit roll was actually the end of EOE.
In EOE.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see anyone where I was. I was like third row. I didn't see anyone in front of me getting up.
I just saw one guy, and he ended up just taking a restroom break. So,
but I do remember when it first, not this showing, but a previous one, I went with a friend who hadn't seen it. He hadn't seen End of Eva before, and he got to see it in a theater for the first time. Like, yeah, he got to the Thanatos credit roll and was like, already just like, what? Wait,
you see the panic in his eyes?
Yeah, just kind of like, what is happening?
And then you get to the actual end, and it's like literally a Soprano style, just hard cut, and the lights turn on, and you're like, what?
Well, the thing that confused at the end of both at my Regal was the lights didn't turn on, so we were all sitting there in the dark for a few moments before finally, like a minute or two before finally going, it's over.
ours
pulling out our
perfectly
phones to like flashlight out.
Like literally, ours was like, it was just the final kimujiwari, and then 2 seconds later, bam, lights on. Wow. I'm like, yes, that is how it has to end.
Nice. And
man, yeah, just that's that experience nice. Was fantastic. But I don't know.
I want to stick with this. The end of Eva theatrical experience, because.
Oh man, I could spend an entire hour talking about the final 20 minutes of EOE. So.
Well, not actually the content of that for now, but literally like in the theater experience, because I had the same thing happen. That I think it's the only time I could say you're in a theater that's full and it ends, and like half the people are just kind of sitting there. The other half kind of stand up and walk out, but basically nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm. It was like, a very quiet,
it's just, yeah,
kind
everyone's
of
just
somber moment. Yeah,
yeah, everyone's just in stunned silence, I guess is what I would say. Of just,
you know, I don't want to get too, let's call it, too analytical, but in my showing, so as soon as lights on, I stood up, as I'd say like 80% of the people there did. And as I was coming down, I noticed a group of youngish, three youngish friends. They were probably in their 20s, and they were all kind of sitting. They were actually, funny enough, two of them were doing the Gendo pose, were just kind of being very thoughtful with their fingers laced. And they were talking to each other very quietly. Like, I could barely hear them talking. So they're being very, it was almost like there was like a moment of quiet reflection and almost like respect. We were like, this was really the death, like the end, like the physical death of Eva. And they were kind of showing reverence for it, is kind of how I looked at it, which is kind of ironic. Because, you know, it was such a yank the plug sort of ending to what otherwise was a tremendous build-up to an end of a franchise. And it's funny, when I got back, Alex just said, you look like you had a good time, and I just told her, this just reaffirms that in all of visual media, Eva portrays the end of the world better than anything else I've ever seen, period. Dot, period, dot, that's it. I can't think of a single other thing I've ever watched where, like, the world ends and I come out so satisfied. As weird as that sounds. And and that was reaffirmed with just how contemplative, like, several, there's a couple of small groups of people that stayed, and they were just kind of quietly, the movie's over, you can talk as long as you want, right? But everybody is being very quiet and, like thoughtful, which I was, like, so interesting to me.
Yeah. My theater, actually, the lights started coming on in the last, like, minute. They started, you know, there's, like, the two levels to the lights. There's, like, the previews level and then the lights on, and they were at the previews level for, like, the last minute, and then they just did the abrupt turn on.
Mine did that thing too, which was annoying. I wish they had stayed dark until the end. I honestly prefer the other one where it stays dark till the end, and then it stays dark for an extra 20 seconds and then turns on, because then everyone's like, wait, no, this is over. Oh gosh!
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't guess know. I like
Nick
my experience.
Got the well configured theater automation system.
The rip the bandage off way, I feel like, is the only way to experience it.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
So it seems like,
I mean, there's something to be said for the sitting there in the dark, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail's ending.
Gosh, I haven't seen that in so long. But I think that's the thing is, like, I've as I said to my wife after, it was like, you know, I've seen that movie, I don't know, 20, 30 times, something like that. And I've never finished that movie and not felt deeply affected.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Like, I've seen it probably a comparable number of times. It might be my most watched anime thing, honestly.
And just every time you watch it, having, you know, it's, I think it's such a statement to the quality of it and everything that, you know, we are as jaded anime bubblegum boomer otakus as you can get. And, you know, I think all of us are like, yeah, you finished watching that and you're just like, whoa, okay, something happened there.
And then Anno, you know, gets to tell you that if you're not happy with that ending, too bad, at AX.
Yeah. And until, gosh, what's the time difference? So 1997 till 2021, somebody do that math. that took that long for him to finally be like, okay, this is...
24 this years,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. This is the version 2.0 that you all asked for and I'm ready to do, finally.
Well, and now we finally are going to do more.
Which, yeah, that's... I don't even know what to expect from that, but that, I think that's a whole separate topic we can go into for a whole separate episode, but...
Okay. So we're not out of time. We have a little bit here. But I think one of my questions is, do we want to have something more to discuss on any particular bits inside, probably more death than rebirth as much, and or do we want to have a separate discussion into EOE?
I would be okay turning EOE into a separate episode, because me personally, I think it's the much, much more compelling let's call it showing out of the two, personally speaking. So I have a lot more. I don't think 10 minutes, you know, left is will do it justice.
No.
So I'm okay spending another episode going into just focusing on EOE. I feel like we did Death and Rebirth mostly for this app. So I think we can.
Yeah, although I do want to... I do want to talk a little bit about the arrangement of death. I don't think we really talked about that.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's okay with me too.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting in that it was entertaining. I think the only downside, like, I really liked that it didn't feel just like a rehash in the way it presented everything. It was very it didn't try and just compress the story, right? It took the beats and arranged them in an interesting way. It kind of let you focus in on individual characters.
Exactly. It focused on each character's arc instead of the story as a whole. It showed, not necessarily all sequentially, but it focused dedicatedly on the perspective from that character with mm-hmm. the footage from the film that they cut together, obviously. But yeah, I agree. It's like seeing the same. Well, what's a good analogy? I can't think of one, but it's the same show, but in a different sequence, and it gives you different perspective when you see it that way. And I think that was interesting. Like, you kind of think, oh wow, this character actually had quite a bit more to do, right, in this, you know, with regards to kind of this theme than I gave them credit for. Like, Asuka wasn't just constantly, you know, being a biatch and mm-hmm. and kicking Shinji around and being a turd. Like, she actually did definitely have a significant amount of character development up through the end of up to death, and then she kind of was invalid for a bit, but that was an intentional choice. So
yeah, it gives you a nice, I feel like the goal of it should be to prepare you for the movie. And like, the particular events don't seem as important to me as, like, yeah, like the characters' journeys and like what brought them there. Because ultimately, Eva is like, it's not about the giant robots, really, right? Like, it's about the people and their relationships with each other. And yeah, I think it was a much better choice the way they did it, to where, yeah, you just get to understand. Because like, if they just recap the series, right, you're going to be like, okay, there was this angel and then this angel and then this angel, and like, we killed it this way and this way and this way, but like, you would be missing all the important things about like how this character changes over the series and why they change or whatever. Because like, even the Misato thing I thought was really interesting, mm-hmm. with the like, mm-hmm. going 15 years before that, or like, you know, 3 months before this, and like, showing you, just kind of jumping around, connecting these things in interesting ways.
Oh yeah, that was definitely interesting, because it gives some very specific dates and times to things that are, you know, you can figure out a rough guess as to what it is, but in here, mm-hmm. in giving stuff, and you're like, oh well, we have actual like dates of
That's
when
true.
These
they
things all happened.
In the TV series, that wasn't expressed, right?
Yeah, no, none of those things. Well, there was a couple of dates and things, but most of them were not specifically dated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought that, I agree. I think that was, it was a really cool choice. Because, like, for example, yeah, they don't even really show anything of Operation Yashima, the battle against the big... The big diamond.
You see like the end results of it,
right? Like, exactly, the cuts, and they cut around through.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. You hardly see in all of death. Like, I'm like, how many angels are like directly shown and invoked? There's just a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like
most of them are not, like, they skip most of them.
Yeah, or again, they're only on the screen for like a couple of seconds.
Yeah, and just, yeah, or just kind of a very small interstitial. But yeah, it was definitely interesting seeing it that way, and I felt like it did what I'm sure that they wanted it to do, which was to be a kind of a cool, interesting recap in a way that you could fill seats for, because it was cool and interesting, but also largely as a promo reel for the film.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, now you can get excited, really excited. You thought you were crazy before? Now go like, really crazy.
Yeah, like, we're going to leave you frothing at the mouth for 4 more months. And have fun.
What was the, what was the time?
Based off of the entry I'm reading in Wikipedia, it looks like it was about a 4-month lag time.
Between. Oh my gosh, I would have lost my mind.
I know, yeah, and I think that's exactly what the intent, I mean, I'm sure people, and then imagine you go through EOE and then you get that ending, like, what were they trying to do?
Yeah, but, and then you see that in the theater, and then you see Ian in the theater, And then you're just left there and you have to, you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to see that in the theater as many times as I can now so I can make sense of my life.
Yeah, that was on those hold that moment.
And I believe, just kind of continuing on this weird theatrical thing, in the audience, live audience section in EOE, wasn't that filmed like at a showing of Death? I thought it was something like that.
It sure seemed like it was, yeah.
I definitely saw a couple of women in the audience that had like a stuffed pen. I thought it was something like that. I don't remember right now. We can attempt to do some research before our next recording.
I will say one thing that I didn't like about the death portion was that because it was structured in that way, it was very difficult to know where it was going and like when it would wrap up. So at a certain point, I was like kind of lost, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that was intentionally engineered that way too. Like they did not want it to feel super lucid.
Yeah, but also it felt like, yeah, I don't know. It, dragging on is not like boring or whatever was not quite the word, but eventually I stopped. I started getting less immersed and I was pulled out a little bit as I started wondering like, where is this going?
Yeah, and that's my main criticism of it as well, is that it lacks structure. And again, it's kind of, if you think of this in the scope of you just finished watching TV and then you go straight into this, it doesn't feel completely satisfying, I feel like. But again, if you're going back, like we are, at least for me, and this is my, you know, quick summary of what EVA TV's main key points were, I feel like then it's okay.
Yeah,
but I do feel like it feels a little bit cheapened if it's kind of, this is what you're seeing right afterwards, because that's like a lot of the footage is repurposed, right? Not all of it, but a lot of it is.
I mean, yeah, that's like most of it, for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a recap episode, right? Assembled in a cool way, but it's still mostly, you know, rehashed animation with a few cool bits here and there.
No, I was going to say, like, one of the things I'm curious on there, because they had the added parts with the segments added to the new versions of 21 through 24, but I'm almost like, well, why didn't they cut in the beautifully done thing of Rey and her response into the Laserdisc version or whatever of episode 5?
Oh, when they released them?
Yeah, or as like a separate version of 5 version 1 or whatever.
Yeah, call it 5.1 or whatever. Right?
Yeah, I'm like, why didn't they do that?
That is interesting.
I mean, yeah, I wonder. Somebody must have thought of it at some point.
I do have a theory, but I think I'll hold off on going into it until our other, let's call it other EVA discussion episode. I think it's more relevant to that. So.
Okay, so I think with that, we will continue our rebirth next time with the end of Evangelion. So if anyone of our hundreds of thousands of listeners have not watched End of Eva in a while and you want to join in the fun, then give it a watch and then question your life choices. Anything else from anyone in closing here?
Nope.
Soylent giant robots are also people?
Yeah. That is factual information. All right. Well, with that, we'll sign off for now and say Saraba.